This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, it's Friday the 13th, and it's a special one. We'll tell you why. Our new movie guy joins us live with his favorite Friday the 13th flicks, plus reviews of the weekend's new releases. The Kings try to take the cup tonight at Staples. And Father's Day is Sunday. You'll hear from an author of a book that I just can't put down. It's called The Secret Life of Fathers. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is going to join us from the newsroom in just a little bit. And here, pretty certain he's not a father yet, it's Jay Capadonia.
At least I hope not. Phil, Donald Sterling is going after the NBA. His new tactic will blow your mind. Details on the way.
And the ladies are lining up for future Father's Day. Here is Chris Martin.
Some of the biggest sporting events in the world are happening all around us right now, and I'm going to give you an update on where it all stands.
Very good. All right, let's get started, guys. Hey, today there is a full moon, and it's Friday the 13th. There won't be another full moon on Friday the 13th until August 13th, 2049.
Oh!
And Jay, you have more information about this full moon today, right?
Tonight it's called the honeymoon, Phil.
Really?
It's called a honeymoon.
How convenient. Last night was my 32nd wedding anniversary.
Look at that.
So congratulations.
I'm on my honeymoon right now.
The stars are aligning for you. Well, evidently, a full moon looks full because it's directly opposite of the sun. Okay, got that? Well, in June, the sun is highest in the sky in the northern hemisphere. Therefore, the moon is at its lowest. So it's going to give an amber glow because it's reflecting from the sun.
That's so romantic.
And there's a bunch of junk in the air that makes it look a little more yellow.
That's so not romantic.
Yeah. But it's called a honeymoon.
Well, you know what? We're just lucky that we have the moon and the sun and the stars to look at because something, Jennifer, in 1961 happened that, well, why don't you explain? Because none of this could be here today.
It's true. It was a really close call, especially North Carolina. Maybe California would be okay, but some just declassified papers say that the U.S. had a very close call with a couple of nukes in 1961. You didn't hear about this? This is really interesting. I found this online this morning. It says that these papers were just declassified by the National Security Archive on a January night in 1961. A U.S. Air Force bomber broke in half while flying over eastern North Carolina. From the belly of the B-52 fell two bombs, two nuclear bombs.
Whoa.
They hit the ground near the city of Goldsboro. The disaster, which would have been worse than Hiroshima and Nagasaki, could have befallen the U.S. that night. But it didn't, thanks to a series of fortunate missteps, or as Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara put back then, by the slightest margin of chance, literally the failure of two wires to cross, a nuclear explosion was averted. In each case, both of the bombs had one little thing go wrong, one on impact and one on its way down.
That's a good thing. Amazing. The bomb maker's an idiot. Okay, this is good.
Yeah,
I know, right?
In this case, it's good.
Yeah.
But I love that these things, okay, nobody panic. It was 1961. But what are the things that aren't declassified yet that are about to happen to us right now?
Don't ask that question.
Aliens.
What disasters have been averted?
Yes, wow. Those will be declassified in another 40 years.
I know.
50
then
years,
we'll go,
maybe.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we're still here.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, just the same, this particular declassification can't do anything to hurt the president's popularity.
Mm-hmm. There's a new survey out that is suggesting this is an equal opportunity show, right? We're nonpartisan here. President Obama is just as unpopular as former President George W. Bush.
Well, wait a minute. Come on, Jay.
Was that a
nonpartisan laugh or a bipartisan laugh?
I am a journalist and I have no opinion.
Okay.
I know.
But your laugh be,
did that come out loud?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can edit that, right?
It's funny, though.
All right, Jen, go ahead. What are the numbers?
Just over half of those polled, 51%, have an unfavorable view of Obama, and 51% currently feel the same about Bush. This is a CNN ORC international poll.
Oh, it's what they feel currently about Bush as opposed to during Bush's second term.
Currently, yes, because during Bush's second term, I think near the end, his rating was like 35%.
Yeah, he was hammered the last couple of years
right,
of his
term. Right, and so right now it's at 51%, and it's right there with Obama, who's still in office. And I think, to be fair, I think a lot of presidents end up being viewed favorably in hindsight, more so.
I think so. I mean, look how much people love George H.W. Bush now.
And look, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, during his tenure in the White House, was just
hammered.
You know, and now he's this world traveling Peace Corps kind of guy.
You know what? You know? On another topic, I've been trying to get off of the dairy lately, and so I have a bowl of bran flakes every morning.
That's quite a transition.
Yeah, it
there,
is.
My
you
friend.
Know, just right off the politics in a hurry. I have a bowl of bran flakes every morning with my breakfast, and I don't pour the milk in there, any kind of milk. No, I put that almond milk in there.
Right.
And I'm getting pretty accustomed to it.
Is it good?
Yeah, you know, it's not bad. I would say it's better than not bad. It's good.
I've gone right back to regular cow milk because the whole soy milk, then almond milk, then rice milk and coconut water and all these different things.
Are there any new options these days?
Well, guess what's next?
I don't know.
Goat.
It's okay. No, goat milk's already kind of come and gone, but there's a California-based Desert Farms launched what it calls the first commercially available line of camel milk.
Oh.
Yum.
Oh, that doesn't sound appetizing at all.
Yeah, the company says that the health benefits include more absorbable calcium than in other milks. It may enhance diabetic wound healing, among other benefits, which is really what I want to be thinking about while I'm drinking milk.
Yeah.
Is, you know, ooh, my wounds are healing. It
is
feels
that what's
great.
In their hump?
No, that's water.
Oh. How do you milk a camel? Same way you milk a cow?
I guess. They
well,
have
you know what?
Udders?
I think that these days, with the drought the way it is, camel milk might be the way to go, the way of the future. But it's in 40 Whole Foods stores. A pint is $18. Now this is the part
so
that
this
kinda
is one of those bougie trends. That's what you're saying,
right? And this is also really sort of gross. It's the closest milk to a human mother's milk. People are willing to pay a premium, says Walid Abdul Wahab, the entrepreneur behind Desert Farms. It's like mother's milk. Blah. And he says, taste.
Was that part of the quote? Was that part of the quote there?
Part of his
the
name.
Blah part?
I just sometimes.
That wasn't
I
his quote, was it?
I can't.
You just can't
just
finish
can't.
It. You can't finish the story, can you?
Yeah, no,
there's
thank
one,
you.
There's one more thing. It's described as having a slightly saltier taste.
Oh!
As well as a hint of vanilla.
I thought you were going to say vinegar.
Oh, no.
Vanilla.
Yeah, I'll pass.
I really don't want that in my Captain Crunch at all.
Bran flakes. Yeah. I'm trying to give an example.
Well, that's you. I'm still young enough to eat Captain Crunch.
Right.
I like Lucky Charms.
All right. We'll let you know when you walk through the threshold of, you know, not caring, and all of a sudden seeing the doctor every couple of weeks. All right.
Yeah.
Jay, while you're still alive, let's get a story out of you.
Yeah, speaking of old guys, Donald Sterling, 80-year-old, his lawyers have reportedly hired 4 private investigative firms to dig up dirt on the former and current commissioners of the NBA, as well as the other 29 team owners. Donald Sterling is suing the NBA for $1 billion, claiming his constitutional rights have been violated by the NBA acting on what he calls illegal recordings. And we all know that story. Let's not get into it. Here's kind of the deal. Source from the Associated Press says investigators were given a 6-figure budget to work over the next 30 days to look at the financial records, the conduct records, and how much everybody's getting paid in the NBA. They've also been given specific instructions to see if anyone in the league has ever made an off-color joke, a racist remark, or anything disparaging against the NBA.
He plays hardball, doesn't he?
Let's not forget, Sterling is a lawyer, and he is a friend to the courtroom. So he's like, oh, you guys want to go to trial? I got the money. I got the resources. Let's go. Wow.
I thought he was stepping down from fighting and stepping back, I should say.
Well, this is the old switcheroo.
Yeah.
So it's like one day he's, you know what? Why don't you guys go ahead and sell the team? And there's like speculation that because he would actually have to sue the Sterling Trust, he's actually technically suing himself. Wow. It's very convoluted and very, very upsetting.
Wait, and this trial ultimately begins when? The middle of this month or next month? Do we know? Do we remember?
No.
Jennifer,
no,
are you going to be – you going to go – if they have journalists inside the courtroom, are you going to go?
I don't know.
That might be fun, huh?
I would go. Yeah, it'd be fun. I always like to watch a few days, you know, of whatever the trial of the du jour is, you know?
The trial of the du jour.
You think they'll go, like, wall to wall, like O.J. 20 years ago?
It depends on the judge. You know, judges just are, you know, so keen on having cameras. And some judges care, others don't.
I vote we bring back Lance Ito.
Let's get Ito back.
Let's get him back.
Let's start a White House petition on petition.org, see if we can get somebody to respond to
that. You know what? It's a sporty week. It's a sporty couple of weeks. There are so many things going on. Chris, we're going to get a wrap-up from you coming up in just a moment. And perhaps the biggest thing for Los Angeles, tonight the Kings go for the Cup. It's Game 5 at Staples. And our favorite sports reporter from the Los Angeles Times, Helene Elliott, is going to join us live here next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. It's Friday the 13th. Jay, you've got a list that we're going to get to a little later of the best 13 best Friday the 13th movies?
As picked by USA Today.
Can you just give me one?
To watch tonight, I will give you one. 1981's My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, saw it and worth it. All right, very good. And we have our first session with our movie guy. He's going to join us in the last quarter of this hour, so be sure to join us for that. A lot happening in sports tonight, Chris, this tonight and today and this weekend. It's just it's sportiness right now.
Yeah, great time to be a sports fan. We were talking a little bit about the NBA before we went to break, and game four of the NBA Finals was last night in Miami, where the San Antonio Spurs continued to just dismantle the Heat. They led by 19 at the half, and they never looked back. Now they're taking a 3-1 lead back to San Antonio, and it's hard to imagine this veteran team, led by Tim Duncan, going back to San Antonio and losing the series at this point.
Clock in, clock out, take the trophy.
That's it. Yeah, they're playing team basketball, and it's hard for the Heat to handle.
What else?
The U.S. Open of Golf is on right now at the famed Pinehurst number 2.
Go USA!
And German-born Martin Keimer is far from schlacken as he shot back-to-back 5-under-par rounds.
Far from schlacken. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, he's leading the rest of the field by 6 shots right now. Phil Mickelson started to make a run this morning, got it to 2-under, but he fell back, so he's on his normal roller coaster ride.
Okay, what else?
And, the World Cup is going on. So our friends to the south of us in Mexico took down Cameroon 1-0 earlier today. And Spain, who is the reigning World Cup champions, are getting their cleats handed to them right now. 5-1 versus Netherlands.
Wow, that's a spanking.
Yes, it is. Australia will kick the football around for 90 minutes against Chile at 3 o'clock today.
And the biggest news is tonight.
Well, one last thing. The first World Cup match for our boys in the red, white, and blue will be on Monday at 3 o'clock. And like you were alluding to, Phil, finally in the NHL, the Kings look to finish off the Rangers at Madison Square Gardens and bring Lord Stanley's Cup home.
Yeah, all right, let's get a little more perspective on this from someone who should know. Joining us live, Los Angeles Times sports writer, Helene Elliott. Okay, I almost sold you short there inadvertently, Helene. I know you
That's
know.
That's so funny. I'm guess I missed a good joke.
Oh, no, yeah. Not you. Believe me, I'm laughing at Chris. Don't worry about it.
And the Kings, Helene, could do it tonight, and it certainly seems like they will based on the previous four games. What do you think?
I would tend to think that they will. Teams that have a chance to clinch the cup at home have a very good record, although in the last 7 or 8 years, that hasn't always been the case. So it's kind of iffy at the moment, but you know, listening to them and talking to them, I mean, this is a team that's been through a lot. They are mentally tough. I suspect that they will end it tonight, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Keys to the game. See if you agree with me. Keep crashing Lundqvist, suffocate on defense, and Quick has to be on his game.
And build up a line of slush in front of Jonathan Quick's goal line.
Yeah, right. Don't they do that typically anyway?
The idea is they're supposed to keep it clean. That shouldn't have been there. And Madison Square Garden's ice surface has been notorious for years as being awful. So I'm just curious to see if they're going to take special care tonight and special pains to make sure that there's no such slush buildup in either net tonight.
Of course, referencing a couple of pucks the Kings put on the crease at Lundqvist's goal and the Rangers' goal that had to fight their way uphill to get over the line and completely break the plane. So that's what we're referencing there. A quick thing here. I want to know what you think about this. The LAPD sent out a notification early today saying that the big screens, the big TVs outside Staples and LA Live will not be showing the game tonight. Obviously, they're trying to get ahead of any celebration that might get out of hand. What do you think of that? Kings fans getting out of hand?
It's my understanding that they showed the game on the big screens for Game 3 and then did not do that at LA Live for Game 4. I gather it was some kind of fire codes. I don't honestly know, and I'm hesitant to say if anything about it in terms of if they didn't get permits for it or, you know, who knows. There's all these silly rules. I'm sure fans feel kind of cheated. It's nice to be in a big group and celebrate something like that together, but apparently the fire marshals have another idea.
Yeah, they're probably worried that Lakers or even Raiders fans might show up after the game, probably.
Oh, come on.
You know what I mean. There's always some hooligans out there turning over taxis for no apparent reason. If the Kings win tonight, Helene, how much of this team do you think is likely to return next year? And are we looking at a team that could be a threat to win the Cup for the next several seasons?
I absolutely agree they will contend for several years to come, or they should. There will be some turnover. There always is. Matt Green's contract is up after the season, and I kind of doubt that they'll bring him back. They have some restricted free agents. I mean, Marian Gaborik is an unrestricted free agent. They have to decide if they can afford to re-sign him, and he has to decide if he wants to come back. But, you know, if you don't change, if you don't improve, it's the equivalent of standing still. I mean, the Kings play in a very tough division in a really, really tough conference. So they will be looking to make improvements, as they should.
Let's talk about this division. And, okay, I'm going back and I'm putting on my duck boy hat again.
Being duck boy again, all right.
Yes, I am.
All right.
I've had a lot of discussions with people, and a lot of folks say that the Ducks are a lot like the 2006 Ducks, the ones from this season, and they're just a Chris Pronger-type player away from taking the cup in the next season. And so I don't know, who do you think they get? A Shea Weber, is that a likelihood to come over from Nashville over to the Ducks?
I doubt that. And frankly, if I were the Ducks, I'd be looking more at a big center to be a number two center behind Ryan Getzlaf. I think that's what they really need. You know, you look at the centers they've had, and they have some speed up there, but they're small, and they need some secondary scoring, and I would be looking at Ryan Kessler maybe from Vancouver, but I would look to make it stronger up the middle first.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll look forward to what happens in the off season, and certainly tonight is exciting for Los Angeles hockey fans and for the league for that matter, because this is the biggest matchup, LA versus New York, I think, that we've had in a long time in sports. It's great for hockey, and it's great to read your coverage of hockey, Helene Elliott, and we'll read your coverage tomorrow in the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You too. There she goes, and always nice to talk to her. She knows her stuff. I didn't mean to imply that she should know her stuff. because I do know that she does know her stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. It was just, it came out really funny.
Yeah, all right.
It cracked me up.
But you were laughing at Chris for some reason.
It was just really funny. I was just like, let's go from Chris to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you, man.
Yeah.
You know I'm messing with you.
Fair enough.
Now,
hey,
here's...
Chris, you missed one, though, Chris. It's 24 Hour of Le Mans this weekend, too.
It is? Really?
Oh. Yes. That's... Yes. 24 Hours of Le Mans. It starts 6 a.m. Saturday and ends 6 a.m. Sunday, and I will... see my husband Sunday at about 6:15.
Oh, right. Okay. Is this still the race where they park all the cars, then you have to run over to your car, get in, turn the ignition, and then take off?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That'd be fun. I never get up that early to see him actually
start. I think
start.
Running start. Is that how they do that? I'm looking at Mike Stark. He doesn't know.
Are there any celebrities in the in this race? Because I know, what's his name? ER guy.
Yeah, McDreamy.
McDreamy, yeah. Patrick Dempsey raced it a couple years ago.
No?
Yeah, he did really well, too. But I don't know. I don't think so.
All right. Well, talk about dreamy. There's an extra dreamy way to fly out of Long Beach and a couple of local airports now. JetBlue is getting into a new type of seating arrangements. Is that right, Chris? Tell us about that.
They are. Yeah, they're going from a no-nonsense airline to now rolling out their version of first class. They're calling it JetBlue Mint. Here's some of the things that they offer. Private suites with doors, 7-foot-long lie flat beds, multi-course meals, hundreds of channels of DirecTV, and how about this? Massage chairs.
Oh, and how much money?
It's $599 to $999. It's only available on their new Airbus, the A321s.
Oh, doing it. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Jay, one more Friday the 13th movie from the list of the top 13. What do you have?
Let's see here. I've got so many to choose from. And if my... Oh! Oh, 1984, Children of the Corn.
Love that one, too.
That's a good one.
All right, more Friday the 13th movies and what's happening this weekend at the theaters with our movie critic next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. All right, here we go. Our next segment here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980, the Friday the 13th edition. And Jay, another Friday the 13th movie from the top 13 list?
From 1993, a movie that I still cannot watch, and I'm in my 30s, Leprechaun.
Really? That little guy scares you?
Yes, that face is terrorizing. It lived in my dreams for years because I thought I was a big bag 8th grader, went and saw it, and I... did not sleep for months.
All right, let's talk some more movies. Michael Schrago is the movie critic for the Orange County Register and the Los Angeles Register, and he joins us to talk movies right now. Michael, we want to get to your favorite Friday the 13th movie or movies in a little bit, but I want to talk about this weekend's releases, and thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, Jonah Hill's busy this weekend. Let's start with 22 Jump Street, Channing Tatum in that, Ice Cube, and I guess 21 Jump Street was popular enough to do this sequel, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's a complete retread. I mean, it gives even retreads of retreads a bad name. I mean, the whole joke of the first movie was supposed to be how ridiculous it was to keep making movies out of TV shows. And now the whole joke of this movie is how ridiculous it is to make sequels out of movies based on TV shows. And, you know, they keep telling you that all the time in the movie, but it doesn't make it any funnier.
So you've seen it already?
Oh, yes.
And how good is it?
No. Well, I'll give you this. I think Jonah Hill is a better actor than he is a comedian, so I think he's pretty terrible in this movie. And I think Channing Tatum is amazingly just as good a comedian as he is an actor. So he's the one who carries this film to whatever meager glory it's going to get.
So it sounds to me, see the movie for Ice Cube.
No, see the movie for Channing Tatum if you have to see the movie.
Okay.
Ice Cube, you can rewind any of your favorite hit reels of him glowering and muttering insults at people. And that's his performance in the movie.
All right, Jonah Hill's voice is in another movie I saw and really enjoyed, How to Train Your Dragon. I'm a grown man, but I thought it was a great movie. And now the sequel is out, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Whole bunch of big names do the voices in here. I love Craig Ferguson. But how about this one?
Oh, this one is terrific. I mean, if you thought the first one was surprising and great, and you go in thinking, you know, can they match it? They top it. I mean, it really is like The Empire Strikes Back in Star Wars, as far as I'm concerned. They've really, you know, gone to a whole new level. It's got a great story. It's got great new monsters. It's got a terrific new character played by Cate Blanchett. And all the things you liked about the first movie, how funny it was, how charming, all that is still intact. It really is. You know, these cartoon makers have taught live action movie makers, you know, a lesson or two about how you can do a follow-up.
I love Kristen Wiig, and she plays a character in this one too, huh?
Right, and she gets more to do. You might have forgotten that she was actually in the first film because she didn't have that much to do, but here she is hilarious. She has a great running joke with one of the new characters who's a kind of robust dragon hunter who we think is a bad guy, played by Kit Harington. And, you know, she plays this really kind of female lout who just falls in love with this guy and is melting every time she sees him flex his bicep. It's very funny.
All right, very good. Now, this one, still not in a bunch of theaters yet, but it's, I don't know if you've seen it yet. There's a sci-fi thriller. Brenton Thwaites, Olivia Cooke, Lawrence Fishburne's in it to some degree. I'm not sure how big of a character he is in there, but the movie's called The Signal. Have you seen that yet?
Oh, yeah, I've seen The Signal. I don't recommend it. I mean, I think, if movies were a little cheaper and they were still the kind of thing you can go on a, you know, afternoon and sneak away and just pay a buck to see something that has a little bit of cool stuff in it, you know, it might have been okay, you know, 40 years ago to do that, but here there's absolutely no story holding it together. The performers are all kind of really attractive people who seem to be on their way up, but they have nothing to do. Fishburne basically is doing another Morpheus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and this one is more likely to put you to sleep.
Yeah, you know, he's so good at that Morpheus character. Now he's in commercials and whatever else, just playing that exact character.
Yeah. I mean, he's a terrific actor, and he was great at that. And it's always good to see him. You know, when I see him in this movie, you know, at least I'm, you know, he has the charisma. You wake up, you pay attention to what he's saying, but then afterwards you think, oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're not Morpheus. I forgot.
Yeah. All right, Jay. And then Chris, you have a question about last week's huge hit. What is it called again?
The Fault in Our Stars. It's actually a movie about a cancer patient. And I was curious about what Michael, were you surprised about how well that movie did, especially going up against Tom Cruise?
No, you know, I wasn't surprised. I'm really surprised people were surprised because, you know, when you have a book that sells 10 million copies, I mean, that is a huge number of copies of books to sell. And usually that's not even, you know, the number of people reading it. You know, multiply that by 5 or 6. So that had a built-in audience. And the one thing the film has going for it, because I'm not a fan of that film except for the two lead performances, is that it's relatively faithful to the book in a very kind of clumsy way. So people can go in, you know, they can bring with it everything they, you know, remember from reading the book, even if it's not really in the movie the same way. And I think that's enough. I doubt it's going to hold up the next couple of weeks, match up to that opening week it had, because I really think beyond that core group of people who love the book, I don't think it has anything to offer.
All right, Michael Strego. Now, we know you love How to Train Your Dragon 2. If somebody was going to spend $10 for a ticket to go out this weekend, if
10?
Not, well,
where are you going? Is, well, that like this,
yeah,
deal saver?
Right, I
the
do.
The early bird
special.
Yeah.
Exactly, and I get a drink and a popcorn with that.
Yeah.
If they were going to spend $40 for a movie this weekend,
yeah,
other than How to Train Your Dragon 2, what do you recommend?
You know, there are a couple of smaller movies that are really good around. I don't know if you remember Jenny Slate. She was the comedian who didn't last long on Saturday Night Live a few years ago because she, inadvertently blurted out the F word during one of her routines.
Like...
Well, she is back in a big way in a really funny, smart, independent comedy called Obvious Child, which is playing at a lot of theaters around, so it's not going to be that hard to find. And I'll tell you, it is really worth it in kind of freshness and laughs. It's daring. It tries to show it's a comedy about abortion, which is kind of pretty audacious right there. But I don't really think, it'll get your back up no matter where you come from on that position, because it really is just trying to show this really, you know, unfocused young woman who's not ready for a child at all, try to come to grips with the idea that she's pregnant and she's got to make this big decision. I'd say next to How to Train Your Dragon 2, I'd say Obvious Child would be the one to pick.
Yeah. All right. Friday the 13th, scary movies, classics or otherwise. Can't let you go without you telling us your favorites.
Well, you know, I do like the classics. So I am very much, there are two movies that to me, when I saw them in the theater and I was a kid, it really, scared me and continue to scare me when I see them now. One is the original The Haunting. which was Julie Harris, Richard Johnson, a kind of haunted house movie with a bunch of kind of Ghostbusters trying to figure out what's going on
with there. The pool scene in the backyard, right?
Yeah. It is very. I mean, the house itself is creepy enough to give you nightmares.
Saw it.
And then there's
a great
this
movie.
Other movie, but again, you could see it now, and partly because it doesn't overdose on the special effects and all that stuff that you can think are dated now. It's all with the power of suggestion and the performers. It's just great. And so is a movie called The Innocents with Deborah Carr. It's based on the Turn of the Screw, the famous short story about the governess who believes that the two children in her charge at a remote estate are being haunted by two of the previous caretakers there. And it is still thrilling, scary. You know, if you want a good, a chill, go rent those two movies.
Love it. Okay. And I'm just going to throw out my three right now.
Okay.
And you can love them or poo-poo them. So the blockbuster, I'm going with The Shining. And then a couple of kitschy ones that I can watch over and over again. Phantasm and Motel Hell.
Well, Phantasm, I'm closer with you. Motel Hell is a little too campy for me, and the Kubrick Shining to me was just sort of really kind of dull. I mean, you can read all sorts of things into it, and people do, and they have a great time. I'm not that person. The Stephen King adaptation I still think is great is Carrie. To me, the original Carrie is still the best Stephen King movie, and still really packs a punch.
How about that? Well, lovely to speak with you. Enjoy your weekend at the movies, and we look forward to talking with you again next week. Michael Srego, thank you. Orange County Register, Los Angeles Register, and read his reviews online at losangelesregister.com. Michael, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
How about that? That felt like a real movie review right there, didn't it? Guy knows his stuff. I'm happy.
I like the campy movies. I love The Blob, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That's a great movie. I mean, it's so stupid, but it's so great.
You know what Motel Hell is? The hotel is called Motel Hello. And people who are visiting, they book themselves into the hotel. But then Farmer Vincent is famous in those parts for his sausage. And the folks who check in, they don't check out. So there's the premise right there, okay?
Dun, dun, dun.
It's great. It's scary and campy, and it's hilarious. I love that movie. Anyway, there we go. Of course, guys, Sunday is Father's Day. And we're going to spend some time talking about or talking with the author of a book I've been enjoying over the past few days. It's called The Secret Life of Fathers. It's a collaboration of intimate interviews with the fathers of daughters, which I am among, not those who were interviewed, but certainly I have three daughters. I could relate to this, and I think fathers with sons can relate to it as well. James Bond is the author's name.
Wait, what?
James Bond. That's his name.
Is he a British spy?
We'll find out next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We're here on KFWB News Talk 980 every weekday afternoon at 2. We're also available on demand. You can hear every single program after the fact at philhewlettandfriends.com. And, of course, we're available on iTunes and all the regular places. Easy to find. And we thank you for tuning in. Father's Day Sunday. James Bond is the founder of the Father-Daughter Project and author of the highly acclaimed book, The Secret Life of Fathers. I'm holding it in my hand right now here. Listen, see, that's it right there. He had been a behavioral management specialist for 13 years, working with Fortune 500 companies. When he discovered his relationship with his middle daughter wasn't as great as he thought, and to understand how he could be a better dad, he interviewed 101 fathers of daughters. on two-hour recorded calls. And because of his behavioral management background, he got these guys to open up about a subject men rarely talk about, the private fears and feelings of fathers of daughters. James Bond joins us live right now. Thank you, sir. And we'll let people insert their own Ian Fleming humorous introduction here. I'll skip it with your permission.
Sure, Phil.
I have three daughters. So your book, Hit Home for Me, I often wonder about the impact I've had on their lives, and they haven't disowned me or abandoned me yet, so I guess that's a good sign, right?
It may be.
Oh, really? So what, are they just being polite?
Well, you know, so I had my relationship with I thought I had a great relationship. I have a son and three daughters, like you have three daughters.
Right.
And so I got the baseball and hockey and all the stuff out of the way with the son. And daughters, my oldest daughter is a type A, so that was easy because she was always in my face. And I never had to work to get a relationship with her. But my middle daughter was not. She was quiet, and I thought I had a great relationship with her until I asked her. I sent her an email saying, I heard, you know, some things that happened to you when you were younger. This was when she was 22. My kids are in their 20s. And I said, I feel like a really bad dad that I've never really gotten to know you. And she sent me an email back saying, I've been waiting my whole life to hear this.
Wow. And it's interesting. You initiated this conversation via email.
Face to face, I'm not sure I could have handled it. But I wondered if I was the only dad of daughters that was this clueless. I was sitting with this guy who's this Harvard professor. We were at this conference, and his wife. And he had three kids, and she had three kids from a previous marriage, and they just got married. And so I said, was sitting with my wife, and we're chatting with him, and I said, so you have, you know, six daughters now. Do you have a good relationship with them? And he's nodding his head yes, as she's nodding her head no.
Oh, wow. Are we just that clueless?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't a father's job, I mean, not to be crass, but I mean, isn't a father's job just to keep your daughters off the stripper pole?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the basics, right?
Yeah, I mean, keep them out of prostitution, keep them, fed.
But let's talk about how you do that. You do that by being there, by having eye contact, by hugging, by listening to their personal matters when they want to talk about it. And
listening.
Yeah.
Giving advice. So I'm a consultant. I've been a consultant for, you know, most of my life. And I'm used to giving advice. And so when I realize it with my daughter Lauren, my whole relationship is about me giving advice and not actually listening. And I suddenly realized I don't know her because I never sat down with her and listened without waiting for that moment so I can give her advice and show her how smart daddy is. And I realized, you know, it's selfish. I thought I'm trying to show her I love her because I'm giving her advice, but I'm not doing that. I'm trying to show her how smart daddy is.
Yeah. Are fathers of daughters any different than fathers who have more sons in the house?
Yes.
How so?
Dads of daughters have a close relationship. You know, girls are, well, there's this thing called the corpus callosum, which divides the left brain and the right brain, okay? It connects the left brain and the right brain. And when we're in the womb and testosterone starts flowing, it eats away at the corpus callosum. So our connection between the left brain and right brain, which is our emotion and our logic, is damaged. And I've heard women, as I describe this, say, yeah, we always knew men are brain damaged.
Okay, fine. Well, for the sake of argument, we'll go along with you and agree. Okay,
I'm in.
You be quiet, Jen. Let the man talk.
I'm listening. Keep going.
But the reason we do this is, you know, it's evolved. We used to have to kill dinosaurs. You know, these giant dinosaurs, we can't show fear because the dinosaur can, and it would take over our emotions and our ability to hunt.
So our emotions have this huge wall, a shell built around them, and we're just not wired to show those emotions.
Right. And if we're with a little girl, you know, she's wired to show emotions. And so our interaction with her is going to tap into a part of our brain that feels unsafe. We don't show them, you know, never let them see a sweat. It's, you know, I mean, so the biggest, and for me, when I was doing the book, because it's excerpts of these interviews that I did with the guys started talking about stuff that they don't normally talk about because it feels dangerous. You know, guys would say things like, I never realized it, but I'm afraid of women.
Wow.
And as I heard this, I thought, how could that be?
you know, afraid of women, it's interesting. And I sort of listened to that. And I had to go to this conference, and my two of my daughters said, Dad, we got to dress you because you don't dress properly. And we're going to, you know, take you out to get clothes. Yeah. And I said, okay, great. And I said to my wife, Pam, come on, let's go. And she said, no, you're on your own, just you and them. And I got a moment of panic.
Wow.
And I realized, what if I don't want to hurt their feelings, and what if they choose clothes I don't like, and, you know, all the stuff that goes on in your mind. And I realized, here's this moment of fear, that it's easier for me to go out to a ball game or throw a ball with my son than it is for me to spend time just with my daughter and be open.
Well, yeah, there's no emotion in playing catch.
You said it.
Yeah, and there's satisfaction in throwing and catching.
Yeah, it's like, look, we're doing something here. I'm not picking out ties.
Gratification.
There's satisfaction in picking out clothes, and there is emotion. There is so too emotion when you drop the ball and you get yelled at.
Well, that's very true.
Right? But it's not quite the same. So I'm standing with my daughter, Lauren, when she was really young, and she looks up at me and says, Dad, are you mad? I said, no, why? She said, you look really mad. I had one of the guys we interviewed was one of the top attorneys in the country, one of the founders of the HMO industry. And this guy's used to, like, walking in, and people are scared of him. You know, it's just a thing guys do. And he said, there is nothing more humbling than a three-year-old with her hands on her hips looking up at you and saying, you are a mean daddy. And he said, I looked down at her. I said, you don't say that to me. She said, I have to tell you because nobody's going to tell you. You are a mean, mean, mean person.
Oh, wow.
Said, let me tell you, but it affects us because when a daughter says that, a daughter sees us, suddenly we realize she's looking at us.
Yeah.
And it changes. And it's amazing. He said, I'm one of the biggest jerks you can imagine. I've been one of the biggest jerks because I'm so used to power. Mm-hmm. That's how I got successful and make money and everything else. And suddenly I have this little girl judging me, and I care.
We have about a minute left. We're all on this journey together, continuing to learn, continuing to grow. I sense that you are as well. What was the toughest question for the dads that you interviewed to answer?
Okay, two questions. How would your life be different if your daughter had never been born?
Ooh.
By the way, the first answer, I'd have more money.
How completely devoid of emotion with that answer.
Exactly.
Totally.
Typical guy answer.
Right. And the second one was, if this was your last day on Earth and you could tell your daughter something you haven't told her all your life, what would it be?
Oh, and they don't have a clue what it is, huh?
Well, if you wait long enough, they actually do. We all do, but you have to give us time.
Right. We'll come up with the answer eventually. What a joy to talk to you. I really enjoy your book. It's called The Secret Life of Fathers. Go to the website, thefatherdaughterproject.com. James Bond.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, you're our favorite secret agent author. Thank you very much for spending some time. Have a happy Father's Day with your son, your three daughters.
And you too, with your daughters.
Thank you very much. Well, there you go. Another week in the books and on the fastest hour in radio right here. Jay, a couple more movies for Friday the 13th?
1996. If you want to have some fun, Scream.
Of course.
That's always fun.
Classic.
2012, The Frozen, which is a thriller and a half. I saw it. 1999, if you like boogers on the lens, go watch The Blair Witch Project.
Oh,
that was a good flick. That's always fun.
Hey, we love your comments. Send us an email, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're @AsWeSeeItShow. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, associate producer, Nick Wright. Theme song composed, performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer, Jay, and Chris, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk to you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.